Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the word this morning, we'll go right into our lesson. I'm going to go to Hebrews 9 and verse 11. Are you glad that you have blood flowing in you and through you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not made of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Would everybody say, own blood? Own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For is the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Now, let me stop right here and explain something. There was a ritual. In all the rituals of Israel, they had several, but it was called the burning of the ashes of the red heifer. And very few times in the history of Israel was there ever a red heifer burned. But when it was, and this is what the scripture is talking about, when it was, the ashes of the heifer were put into a sacred place. And when men would come to the priest needing a certain kind of cleansing, they used these ashes and they would pour water over the ashes and then dip the hyssop in to the ashes and sprinkle this on the man. And this cleansed this person from whatever he was needing to be cleansed from. So that's what this scripture is talking about. Now let's reread this verse. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Would you say with me this morning, how much more the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Anoint this adult Sunday school class. Every heart, mind, and soul that is in here, Lord, let your word go forth and let it change us and help us and guide us. Lord, we give you praise. Let our fresh anointing fall upon us today. And by the conclusion of these services today, God, that somebody here would make a life-altering decision to get covered by your blood, to be covered by your blood, and to be an overcomer by your blood and by their testimony. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to go to Romans 5 and 10 now. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his son, much more, say with me, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Everybody say life. Much more life. Thank God for the blood. Now I want to go to Ephesians 2 and 13. But now, do you hear that? Now, right now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It doesn't take long this morning, if you've been listening to the music and singing in our worship and you've listened to the text that I have read this morning, it doesn't take you very long to figure out that I'm going to talk about the blood today. The blood. Thank God for the blood. I wonder if you would say that with me. Thank God for the blood. I was raised in this beautiful truth. As far back as I can remember, we said and sang and talked about there's something special about this thing called the blood. We talk about it. We sing about it. We preach about it. We read about it. Why? Because the beauty of the blood of Christ is not that it represents death, but that it represents life. It represents life. If you or I were rushed to an emergency room this morning and your life was hanging in the balance, and one of the first things that they are going to try to do to you, especially if you've lost a lot of blood, is they're going to try to pump some blood into you. That's why we have blood drives and donations where you go give blood. So they have blood on hand when you have a traumatic situation and you go there, that they can try to pump this life-giving force into you. It's the most powerful life-giving agent in any hospital. In that blood, there is something called life. Say it with me, life. There is life in the blood. Thank God for the blood. You can't see it, but it's in there. And when it gets inside that critical body, something begins to happen, and it triggers it, and it's going to begin to work on that person. And given just a little bit of time, when replenished with that blood, suddenly sustained by the blood, that life begins to try to fight back and come back, and you will suddenly begin to see color come back into somebody that you thought was absolutely dead and gone, because in that little bag of blood that they are pumping into you, there is what is called life. Life. Because life is in the blood. And anywhere you see the word blood in the Word of God, it is associated with life. When they ask for blood donations, they say, give the gift of life. Give blood. Yeah. Anybody here ever given blood before? Yeah. You've given the gift of life. And when we talk about Jesus hanging on the cross and shedding His blood, He really didn't just shed His blood, but He shared His blood. Because in His blood, there's not death, but there is life. By the shedding of blood, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He shared that right with us. Thank God for the blood. I wish you'd say it with me. Thank God for the blood. If I were to take one pinpoint of blood and just drop it on the letter zero that you have on your little phone that you text with, and if we would just put enough blood to cover that little letter zero with blood, and you would look at that blood through a microscope and break it down into the parts that it has, do you know what you would find? It's pretty interesting. In that one drop of blood, there is better than 5 million red cells. There are better than 300,000 platelets. There are better than 7,000 white cells. All in that one drop of blood, lined up end to end. One person's red blood cells would wrap around the earth 4 times. It is estimated that the body contains 25 trillion red blood cells. A row of 5,000 of them would be about an inch long. A red blood cell is a master design for doing its job of carrying oxygen throughout your body. A red blood cell can contain 256 million molecules of hemoglobin. And am I saying that word right? Yeah, that's a hard word for me. Which helps it to collect and carry this oxygen. And each red blood cell is 1/3 hemoglobin in volume. The platelets that are in your blood right now are an emergency crew. They live only 6 to 12 days, but they spend their time cruising through your body, waiting for an emergency to happen and for an abrasion of the skin or a break in a vessel, because somewhere in there they are looking for anything that will sever and serve death to you. And they go and rush to heal and to stop it up. And when it begins to happen, they rush to that site, and untold millions of them pour themselves into that wound in the skin, and they give themselves an until they form a web holding back the red blood cells pumping the blood that is trying to leave your body. And then it begins to form a scab and you begin to heal, and then it begins to itch and you begin to scratch. Don't scratch the itch. There's another message I'll preach later. There are five kinds of white blood cells, each created to do a specific job in your body. Every year, scientists discover more and more about this fascinating and complex material called blood. Most every one of us, when we see blood, and you see somebody get wounded really bad, and they begin to gush blood or pour blood, that word just makes your stomach start to cringe, doesn't it? And we get a little bit weak in the knees and a bit shaky and we feel faint. That's why it takes a special person to be a nurse or a doctor or a caregiver, because they have to deal with these fluids and it's not fun. But there's something in blood that takes all the excitement out of you. And that's because most people associate blood and the sight of blood with death and destruction. That's what you automatically, subconsciously go to. Well, they must be dying. But by the time I get through this morning, I hope every time you hear somebody talk about blood, every time you hear someone sing about blood, every time you hear someone preach about blood, I want you to remember that blood has the authority of life in it. And you and I live by the blood of Jesus. Our hope, our way of escape, our whole, we are covered by, if God hadn't come and shared His blood and shed His blood, where would we be? What would we be? Inside this human body, there is better than 75,000 miles of blood vessels running through your body that link to every cell in your body. There are better than 60 trillion cells in the human body. And every cell has the right to get blood, and does, because if that cell doesn't get blood, it will die. The life is in the blood. There's nothing that will make a cell in your body live except blood. And something's got to get it there. And so when God made your body, He made big arteries, and off of those big arteries there are smaller arteries, and off of those smaller arteries there are still smaller ones, and on down the line, like a freeway system. When you go on a freeway, there are big roads, smaller roads, two-lane roads, one-lane roads, dirt roads, and then there's trails, and then there's no trails. Some people can blaze a trail. I've been in the woods before with a certain someone in this room. They can blaze a trail. And they can slip through the woods and not leave a sign. I come behind them. I'm like a bulldozer plowing my way through. Every cell in your body has got to have blood. And if it's going to live, it is essential that it has blood. Every member, hear me this morning, every member of the body of Christ, we are the bride, every member of the body of Christ has got to be nourished. You need to be nourished. That's why it's important for you to be in the house of God. We've got to be cleansed. We've got to be saved and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're going to live, you've got to have blood. Thank God for the blood. Say it with me. Thank God for the blood. I wonder this morning if you would take a moment, just put your hand on your heart. Is it beating? Put your hand on your heart. Is it beating? I hope so. Because it's an important part of making that blood distribute throughout your body. And your heart is pumping away in your chest. This is what's happening as it's pumping. And the blood is rushing out of your heart and pumping into your lungs. And when it gets to your lungs, it's fresh and it's clean. And then when it gets to your it gets there and it gets clean, it loads itself up with good, pure, clean, oxygen. And that's one reason why you encourage people that smoke, not to smoke, because the damage that it's doing, you're putting that smoke into your lungs. So when that blood comes from your heart through to pick up the clean oxygen to go to the rest of your body, it contaminates that oxygen. So thus it contaminates the cells throughout your body. And I won't go all of that through all of that, but you know, those same cells and that oxygen goes to your brain. It messes stuff up when it's not pure and it's not clean. The blood is going to take whatever kind of oxygen, pure or contaminated, and it will carry it down every living cell and channel of your body. Your brain is sustained by oxygen that your blood carries to it. Finally, it makes its long trip to the kidneys and into the spleen, where it's cleansed, and then back again to the heart to start the journey all over again. And while it's making its journey, the red cells are not only carrying oxygen, but at the same time, they are picking up the toxins and the toxic waste in your body, things that would kill you and if you allow them to stay there. And these are picked up by the red blood cells, and they are taken to the disposal places in your body and done away with. And the red cells nourish and cleanse every cell in your body. I promise you, I'm laying a foundation that will blow your mind. If you will begin to think of this principle in a spiritual body and in your spiritual world, what is holding you back? What is contaminating the bloodstream? What is contaminating your prayer line and your fasting line and your worshiping line? What's holding you back from getting the victory and the joy? What's keeping you from getting the peace? What's keeping you from being content? What's keeping you from being happy? Is there contamination? Is there a blockage? Is there something there that shouldn't be? Thank God for the blood. There is life-giving power in the blood of the Lamb. The brain. Hopefully you have one and you use it properly, but the brain can only survive 5 minutes without the supply of blood. You can live many days without food. You can live a few days without water, but you cannot live without oxygen, and you cannot live without the network of blood that is flowing through your body right now. When there is a breakdown of the blood supply, death begins to enter into your body. Red cells make 500,000 round trips in 4 months. That's 500,000 trips throughout your body. Blood has always been important. The New Testament of the Bible writes 3 times more about the blood than the cross. The blood is mentioned 5 times more than the death of Jesus in the New Testament. What the writers are trying to get across to us is, don't look at the blood as death, but look at the blood as life. There is life-giving power in the blood of the Lamb. And I know I'm supposed to be teaching, but I get excited when I think about I'm covered by that blood. I've been forgiven. My debt has been paid. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. It's so easy to get caught up in the agony and the suffering of the cross until we fail to see the most beautiful thing about the cross that relates to us. It wasn't only his suffering, but it was his blood that was shed. Or rather, his blood that was shared. Give the gift of life. Give blood. He started it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. When the blood comes in, it will bring glory. It will bring joy and power and honor. It brings the Spirit. It will bring life into your spiritual body, to your physical body. There's a cleansing power about the blood that you don't hear much about. You know, several years ago, they came out with a politically correct Bible, they call it. And they took out every mention of blood. They called it an offensive gospel because it talked about blood. Let me tell you, if you take the blood out of this book, it's just dead history. We've got to have the blood. We've got to get serious about our relationship and our walk with God. We've got to maintain the flowing of the blood in our life. When I talk about cleansing or being clean, most people think, and I think, about soap and water and detergent. And we've had some lessons with some of our kids in the past about, hey, there's some things you have to do as you get older, and maybe you're not getting taught this somewhere else, but you're going to get taught here. You need to put on some deodorant. You need to take a shower. I actually had a young man tell me, he's not here, but he took a shower once a month.